Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for the KE Report Weekend Edition Politics. Talking with Jim McKinney right now. Going to open the show with Jim, and then we're going to continue on with Jim. We're going to talk about some of the things that are going on in the country under the leadership, I guess I would have to say, of the Democratic Party, which is looking very, very bad right now. Jim, the jobs report came out today. It stunk, number one. Number two, and that's very, very bad, obviously, for the economy. My comment on that is, what do you expect when you have this COVID bullshit going on? And number two, what do you expect when you're willing to pay people more than they can make if they go out and work? I don't understand that at all. It makes absolutely no sense. It becomes very, very obvious. It is becoming very, very obvious to me, Jimmy, that somebody has a plan to absolutely torpedo America. Comments?
Well, it does appear that the policies that this administration is pushing forward are absolutely undermining America. The requirement for forced vaccinations and large companies fining them and threatening to fine them if they don't have people vaccinated. What do you think for the 30 to 40% of the population that's still not double vaxxed that says, hey, I don't want to do that. I don't trust the system. I don't trust what's happening. They're gonna go ahead and step away from their jobs, or they're gonna be forced out. And apparently people are being fired left and right. What is so disturbing to me is all week long I heard analysts and different groups talking about how great the jobs and the economy, was gonna be, and the jobs report was gonna be so good. And they missed it by more than 100%. The expectation is somewhere around 500,000, and it's 194,000. Women are losing 26,000 jobs, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. These are incredibly bad numbers as we're going into a typical October, November, December timeframe that is questionable. You usually have a lot of layoffs because of weather, construction, those types of things. And now we're going to see, continue push from this administration on forced vaccinations. Federal employees are going to lose jobs. Airline employees are losing jobs. Healthcare people are quitting and are being forced out of their jobs. This is disastrous. And you got to wonder, what's the objective by the administration? How are they not willing to accept the reality of what they're doing to the economy?
Boy, I don't know. Also going on in Seattle right now, the Seattle Police Department is bracing for a mass firing of officers as hundreds have yet to show proof of vaccination. If somebody was planning on taking action to do something absolutely abysmal to America, they have very, very definitely succeeded. There's no question about that. Look at the price of oil. The price of oil is over, and that has nothing to do with firing the cops, but it just has more to do with negativity. Oil is over $80 a barrel. It has not been that high since 2014, when Barack Obama was in power. Absolutely sickening. That plus the big miss on the jobs. I mean, when you look at everything that's going on right now, it's pretty scary. How about the doctor down in UCLA who was escorted from the hospital after refusing to continue the immunization process? I don't get it, Jimmy. The only thing I can say is I have toyed with the idea of taking the booster for my particular Pfizer immunization. I'm on the record right now as we are recording here on Friday, and that is I am absolutely against taking the booster. It's not that I want to hurt myself. I'm not concerned about that. I just am looking at what's going on with the economy in general. It's absolutely terrible, Jim, and I can't be a part of it.
Yeah, the decisions that are being taken by the White House right now are authoritarian. And the more they put pressure and try to force people into these situations, the more they're going to have to use law enforcement and use the threat of government control in order to achieve their goals, which is, in my view, it's counterproductive. But for some reason, they're continuing to push these limits. And you do have to wonder what's going on. I think it is an all-out push for power. Chuck Schumer goes on the floor, slams the GOP in a floor speech about after the GOP agrees to increase the debt limit. What happened to civility? What happened to attempting to do the best for the nation? None of these decisions, none of the directions that this administration is taking are actually pushing for a better America. They're pushing for a more influential, more powerful Democratic Party that is now being driven by progressive ideologies, by Marxist ideologies. And it's detrimental to the community. It's detrimental to our health. Mentally, people are just like, what the heck is going on? You get Department of Justice threatening parents at school board meetings, using the FBI to investigate people for threats or anger over critical race theory or gender studies or masking their kids. My thought is that this administration, people like Susan Rice behind the scenes, Barack Obama behind the scenes, Klein, the chief of staff for Biden administration, Jake Sullivan, that these people are so corrupt that they're willing to sell out America for individual power and choice and influence. And I think they are attempting to create a condition where somebody responds in a very dangerous way so they can actually use their tools of power in order to take away Second Amendment rights and to silence speech. And they're using tech companies to do it. They are inciting people's anger. And I think there's an agenda here, an objective. And I think don't underestimate the sinisterness of this particular group of people that are now making decisions that are absolutely damaging and destroying American, the economy, individual rights, individual choice, speech, across the board.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. I mean, I'm looking at the headlines right now, and the only positive headline that I'm seeing is that Urban Meyer's wife has come to the conclusion that, quote, we are all sinners, unquote. I have to tell you, Jim, as you know, I do a lot of Bible study. I have a lot of faith. That's what's keeping me going. And I think that if I support or if I don't take a stand on what's going on in America today, then I am a sinner. I think it's our responsibility that we have to do that. We simply have to stand up and at least voice the opinion that what we are doing right now, the direction that our country is going in right now, in our opinions, is wrong. We have to be very careful not to allow anyone to say that we are breaking the law with what we are doing. So far, we are constitutionally enabled to say whatever we want in any forum we want to, as long as we don't hurt anybody else. Opinions don't hurt anybody. It simply gives them food for thought. I have to say that I am very, very happy for what you and I are doing, Jimmy. We are talking about what we feel logically based on our experience, my experience of following political agenda, my experience of following American politics since 1995 is helping me. Certainly your experience, your Army experience, your boots on the ground experience all over the world is absolutely critically important for people to realize. And what I would have to say is at this point in time, everybody, just do what you can. Voice your opinions as obviously as you can to as many people that you can, because, you know, we're in a situation right now where we appear to be going in the right direction. If folks don't agree with you, you don't have to get mad at them. All you have to do is say, that's your opinion. Ladies and gentlemen, quick commercial break. Going to be right back.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Section 5 of KE Weekend Edition Politics. Chatting right now with my old friend who I haven't talked with for a couple of days, Dr. Charles Page. Dr. Page is a surgeon in Texas, and we're going to include him in the conversation about what's going on in the country that seems to be centered, the negativity seems to be centered around the COVID immunization, but that really isn't the issue for all this negativity. Chuck, in your opinion, what is the issue for all the negativity? I mean, the numbers that came out today, Friday, as we are recording, that's Friday, October 8th, as we are recording the weekend show, are absolutely abysmal. Not only the numbers, the employment numbers are terrible. The price of oil is over $80 a barrel. That means inflation, inflation, inflation. That's terrible. We just have a bad situation on our hands right now. Dr. Chuck, as a medical physician, what do you feel right now is the main cause of what's going on?
So as a physician, I deal with this every day. You know, my first goal is to have patients trust me. You know, before they ever trust what I say or what I do, they have to trust me as a person. And that's the breakdown right now between, I believe, most Americans and the government is just a loss of trust. It's an emotional issue. And, you know, Al, if you've ever raised kids, you know this. I mean, when my kids were 6 years old, I could, you know, throw them in the back of the car and say, because I said so. But when they become 16, because I said so doesn't work anymore. There has to be a relational trust. And we just had a breakdown of that in our country. And I think it kind of goes across all party lines. I don't think it's necessarily a Democratic or Republican issue. I think it's more of just the fact that people have just distrusted the government for multiple reasons. And we've got to kind of get back to a relationship of trust, and that's a two-way kind of a two-way street.
You know, Dr. Page, I agree with you. There's a tremendous loss of trust, but the reason the foundations of that loss of trust are, in my view, an administration that is more worried about the spin than about taking responsibility or actually being honest with the American people when they make mistakes. And I think that, you know, that's why it's a nonpartisan issue. It's a very, very deep issue. And as long as, as a guy that worked in the government and worked in different countries and worked with, you know, information operations, one of the key words was, you know, control the narrative, control the narrative. Well, this administration has taken that to the extreme. They're no longer controlling the issues. They're no longer making recommendations that make sense. They're actually spending all their time trying to change the narrative. And when the narrative changes and you look like a liar, American people just say, wait a second, you know, I thought you said you were going to get every American out of Afghanistan. I thought you said that Afghanistan would not fall in 3 days. I thought you said that, you know, we would be past this if we had enough vaccinations. We won't need boosters. There are so many issues that this administration is continually trying to spin the last thing they said rather than being honest. It's really, really offending and upsetting, mostly independents. Republicans not really affecting, and then even Democrats, which is why you see these cratering poll numbers for this administration.
You know, I don't disagree with that. I think, you know, even as a father, as a physician, you know, we have to get back to doing what we say we're going to do, you know, and fostering that trust. And you're right, there's been so many promises that have been broken. Now, taking the other side of that, especially with the COVID virus, you know, taking care of sick patients, sometimes we have a plan and we have to deviate with that plan as we get more information. And I think that's one of the things, too. It's been very confusing for most Americans trying to figure out what the plan is because the plan has changed so many times. Now, you know, often the priorities have to change as you get more knowledge and as the circumstances change. But it's been very difficult for people. And, you know, especially with the media and all the mixed messages that we're facing, it's just been a challenge. And I think I understand, I think, what this administration and what the government in general needs to do is go back to the basics. And like you were saying, I mean, just doing your best, keeping your promises. And, you know, I think people are much more accepting of the government and other people. When we mess up, say, hey, man, we just kind of really flubbed up in Afghanistan. We did some things that were, you know, that just didn't work out, and just apologize and move on. You know, I think that means a lot with the American people. But as you're right, I mean, the narrative, it's all about the narrative instead of about reality.
I also question, though, you know, so there, things do change, and as we get more information, the ability for the American people to analyze that information is being severely hampered because of censorship and because of a tremendous amount of political pressure being put on different, not only big tech industry, but also in media representatives from the mainstream media, which are actually silencing voices. And people they've taken sides on, when I say people, I mean journalists and editorial boards and the mainstream largest influencers in this nation. They're taking sides rather than being open to new information, which would actually significantly change people's perspective if they trusted it. But because of this attempt to influence and shape policy in order to meet that narrative, they're basically being embarrassed. A lot of the media organizations are being embarrassed over and over again. New York Times just had to come out. They botched, from their premier reporter, botched the numbers of American children that have been hospitalized with COVID by 800, oh, like, I mean, from 60,000, 69,000, I believe, to 800,000. How do you gain trust when the New York Times publishes data like that? And then the rest of the article actually had quite a bit of lies and junk in it as well. And that's what I think is happening. We've got tremendous pressure from this administration to influence media editors and journalists to meet their requirements, which is actually doing what, as you say, a parent cannot do. And that's continue to lie to their kids and expect them to come out of this thing, you know, come out of life with a positive attitude.
Gentlemen, we have to take a real quick break here, not necessarily for a commercial, but we have to take a real quick break for the top of the hour news. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be back with my two favorite colleagues, Chuck, Spoonful of Courage, Paige, and Jim. I'm going to be right back with what we're talking about. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed the top of the hour news on your particular affiliate station that you're listening to right now. I hope there was something positive in there. It's kind of hard to look for anything positive right now in America as we are recording this on Friday, October 8th. I want to say one thing, and that is only you, and I'm speaking to the listeners right now, only you can control your attitude. If you want to be pessimistic, be pessimistic. But I'm telling you, you're going to accomplish absolutely nothing with your pessimism. The most important thing, in my opinion, the Big Al feels you can do is simply understand what's going on and then spread the word as you understand it. Chuck, I want to talk about some of the events that are going on in the country right now. Seattle, Washington Police Department is facing an absolutely abysmal situation in the sense that the department is on the verge of having to fire a very large number of police officers because they refuse to get immunized. That's not a good thing. How do you feel about that, Chuck, realistically?
So let me give you a couple different viewpoints. Number one, I think that people still have the right to choose whether or not they have the vaccine or not. One of the challenges, as we talked about in the last segment with Jim, is that the narrative has changed, and it's really hard to know what the truth is. You know, once again, hospitals, schools are having trouble right now staffing and providing services because of sick people. But that still, I don't think that should mandate having people to have vaccines. It's still an individual choice when it comes to your health. Once again, as we talked about, there's so much emotion involved with this, but most people are, you know, each decision has different components. There's an emotional part component, there's an intellectual component, and a volitional or a will component. And so many people don't really look at the facts. And I still believe if people really look at the facts about vaccinations, they're not perfect, but it's the best option that we have right now for most people. Not everybody needs to have a vaccine. But, you know, once again, they have to look at the risk profile and the risk and benefits of taking the vaccine. And, you know, and I think that's kind of the issue. I mean, and there's such a fear. I was taking a cancer off a lady's face the other day, and she stopped me and she says, "You're not going to," I was fixing to put some numbing medicine in her face. And she was like, "Stop, you're not going to give me some of that COVID vaccine." You know, and she thought I was going to do that kind of behind the, kind of sneak it in. And I mean, some people really have that fear. And I don't think there's anything to be afraid of with the vaccine. I mean, the vaccine in most cases has a pretty low risk profile. There are people that get sick with it. There are people that have died with it. But in general, it's a pretty low-risk thing. And it's not perfect. I mean, in fact, I was vaccinated, and I got COVID after being vaccinated. But the point is that for 95% of the people, or maybe more, who get the vaccine and then get COVID, they're not going to be so sick that they're going to have to be hospitalized. There are always exceptions. And so I think we need to keep that in mind and try to downplay the emotions that we're facing. But, you know, it's a real dilemma, you know, for places. You know, we have to have officers that are healthy, and, you know, and so, you know, it's a real challenge. I don't think that it should be mandated. I don't think that that works. I mean, we know the emotional, we've talked about that, the emotional pushback that we see. And really, it's only going to undermine things and make things worse in the long term.
Yeah, Dr. Page, you know, I first of all, I agree. This should not be mandatory. Someone should be able to make this choice. And whether they want to do the personal analysis of risk, if you're a 35-year-old law enforcement officer in Seattle, the probability of death is what, 99.992 or something like that. I don't want to give that specific number, but it's a pretty low risk of dying from COVID. And, you know, forcing someone to do that to make somebody else who's incredibly afraid feel safe, when in fact, as you say, you still have the possibility not only to get it after the vaccine, but also to spread it after the vaccine. I think a lot of people are looking at that information and trying to make good decisions, but then at the same time, under tremendous pressure to be forced. I mean, if you work for a company with over 100 employees, you know, what are you doing? You're being forced to take the vaccination under threat of the government finding the company that would cost them enough to put them out of business. These are very dangerous precedents, in my view, in our basic foundations of choice and what our Constitution guarantees. And that's what bothers me, that in fact, we have so much pressure from the administration and from its interlocutors as speakers, as media outlets, as some of these, you know, Hollywood you know, celebrities and influencers that they're hiring to help sell something like that, it does make people very, very nervous, and it does increase the distrust to a significant level for a large number of people that actually spend the time to do the research on the impact of them. And that's what bothers me more than anything else.
You guys, let me just jump in here and say one thing. I'm involved on a regular basis, a frequent and regular basis in a Bible study. The gentlemen who are associated with me, my Christian brothers, are all somehow involved in law enforcement or have been involved in law enforcement. I have one man who is in who's involved in an important supervisory position in his professional career. He has been told if he does not immunized and provide his employer with proof that he has been immunized, and by immunized, I believe in this case, I'm talking about simply the booster, that he will be fired from his supervisory position with the government. He was mentioning at our study a couple of days ago, he said, I don't know what to do. He said, I'm not against immunization, but I am totally against, from a principal standpoint, of the government telling me what to do. And he said, you know, but the problem is if I don't do it, I will lose my job and I will not be able to pay off my home as planned in the next 2 years. I have another very close friend, a guy who's really a good buddy of mine. I'm here, play a lot of golf with him, am involved with him in an awful lot of intellectual discussions with him. He's in a situation where he needs to fly to Southern California to meet with his sister regarding an issue with his wife who passed away, interestingly enough, just about 2 weeks after my wife passed away. He cannot go down and visit his sister if he is not willing to take a couple of three COVID tests on the one hand, and number two, if he is not willing to provide proof of immunization. So he has just thrown his hands up in the air and said, you know what, I'm just going to do it. If I want to see my sister, I have to do it. And that's a real problem for me, but I do want to see my sister, given the emotional turmoil that's going on in my family with the death of my wife. He said, I simply don't have a choice that I can see. That scares the daylights out of me, you guys. And I'll tell you something else that scares the daylights out of me. We got to take a commercial break here in about 15 seconds. And then I'm going to turn the next segment totally over to Dr. Page and Jim McKinney. And the reason I'm going to do that is simply because I have nothing but time for these guys from a friendship standpoint and from a respect standpoint. Stick around. Going to be back in 30 seconds with Jim and Dr. Chuck.
Jim McKinney, welcome back to KE Report Politics. We've got Dr. Charles Page and, of course, Al and myself today. And, of course, as we just, you know, went into this last break, we were talking about what is happening with the decision-making process and the people taking their own personal decisions, trying to analyze what information out there. We're talking about suppressing of information that might help people make choices, but most importantly, we're talking about the forced nature, the heavy-handed nature of forcing vaccinations for people at a wide scale, and what that means. And I think Dr. Page, you were going to make some comments there, and Al had talked about some of the, you know, the personal issues with the both Border Patrol people and law enforcement people, but also friends and travel. So, you know, what do you think the impact to our, not only our emotional state, but our, the fabric of our nation, when this type of very, I'll just say it, heavy-handed enforcement procedures are beginning to, like, creep into our daily lives?
You know, Jim, just to echo what both you and Al have said, it's problematic. And I think a lot of times we don't see the long-term effects of what this degeneration of the relationship is going to look like. I mean, you know, once again, we're having nurses fired from hospitals. You know, once again, before the vaccine, it was totally fine for them to go and risk their lives, you know, take care of COVID patients. But now, since there's a vaccine, the whole game has changed. And, you know, in the long run, what that does, when those nurses are fired, you know, they're not coming back.
Right.
And this is going to be a real problem long term in healthcare, and in other businesses, and in other, you know, when these people are being excluded from the workforce or from society in a sense because of their beliefs, and it's really concerning. But you know, think about this: just the basis of our society. In our Constitution is based upon a trust between the people who give the power to the government. And when that trust is broken down, it just causes a lot of long-term problems. And that's what I'm really concerned about. And I don't think the government is seeing the long-term consequences of kind of pushing these agendas, which I believe are based on arbitrary absolutes, you know, pushing these agendas on the American people without thinking about the long-term effect. And I think we're going to have some problems, some real problems on down the road, because it's only fracturing the relationship even further.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think, you know, I remind people, I speak quite often publicly, and of course I do various radio shows. But one of the things I always remind people is that, you know, our government, this Constitution, was a system that made the first change in human history where the people actually decided how they wanted to be governed and had the responsibility to do that. And the government here was to protect the basic rights, the foundational rights that were given to us by God, not by government. And that's the interesting dilemma that I see we're facing in our communities, where the government is now saying, no, we give you all your rights. And that's absolutely contrary to the foundations of our nation. But too many people are accepting that. And when they accept that, they aren't able to ask questions, or they actually push back. And the questions that I have, and I'm going to ask you as a doctor. So I look at three things. All right, vaccinations is positive, especially if you're in a risk category, as you know, that's a potential help for you. And it looks like that, you know, most of the information is showing that, yeah, it's relatively safe, and it really will help people in the category, in the risk categories. But why is the government not pushing as hard on therapeutics, which apparently there's quite a few out there that look like they have some ability to assist? And, you know, therapeutics is one thing, but at the same time, not talking about the 100 million Americans that have actually had COVID and have developed some level of natural immunity. Why are those two issues not being discussed and equally weighed from this administration?
Jim, that is a great question. And that's something that I think most physicians have even asked. You know, we know there's a lot of good studies out there of a lot of treatments that the government has really thrown under the bus. And, you know, I think it goes back to the fact that the government is, in general, I don't want to, you know, go across the board and say this is true with everyone, but I think the government is basically saying, we're the experts. We know what's best. Listen to us. And, you know, I think all along with the COVID epidemic, the government could have had a completely different approach. They could have came to the physicians of this country and said, hey, we don't really have all the answers, and we need your help. You know, they could have went to the doctors in Washington State and said, hey, let's study ivermectin. We could have went to the doctors in Oklahoma and said, hey, let's study ivermectin and, and vitamin D all the stuff. We could have did all that. And, you know, we could have came out with several studies and really kind of brought everyone into the fold, into the discussion, which is the way America has always worked, this free exchange of ideas, just like we're doing today, Jim. I mean, you know, there's some things that we've disagreed on, but you know, come into an understanding of the truth. And I think that's where we're at. I mean, you know, like you said, often people are just presenting this narrative without really, you know, and filtering the facts based upon their worldview without really, you know, without really getting down to the truth of things. And I think that was, I think that's where we messed up, you know? And so, I don't know where it's going to go from here. You know, science is really becoming a lot more subjective than it was 20 or 30 years ago. And so it's really hard to know. It's really hard to know who to believe anymore. Even in the literature, you know, the literature, people filter facts and data based upon their worldview. And so that's why I think we all need to step back and really be people who are looking for the truth. And it's so hard to find that today in the media.
I so much agree with you on this. And what, you know, I know we're going to go here about another minute, and then we're going to have you talk a little bit about your media and some of the things that you're doing out there at the end of this segment. But here's what I'm concerned with. The FDA depends on universities and the pharmaceutical companies in order to gather information and research. And without reaching out to the broader segment of the community of the world, of the health, you know, officials around the world, they have a very few people that they contact with. And I'm very concerned that there's been, you know, people have interests, people have views.
Yep.
And that's the unfortunate, sad thing when we're being forced to take vaccinations where the government's paying for it and it's, you know, taxpayer, all these other things. And you don't really trust who's making the decisions anymore behind the scenes in that. So that makes me, you know, especially when you see some of these other studies out of Israel, when you see some of these studies out of Europe right now, and of course the push against children, which, you know, have a very, very low risk of this disease.
Jimmy,
so anyway, I definitely want to give you an opportunity here.
We got about a
minute. I want to give you the opportunity, Chuck, to go ahead and talk about, you know, what you're doing with media and some of the great things that are out there that people can look at.
Well, so, you know, I'm trying to encourage people to find faith and courage and hope, you know, from a Christian worldview. And so, and kind of getting back to, you know, the fact that before people ever trust what we say, they have to trust us. And so that's kind of the goal with Spoonfuls of Courage. It's just, you know, telling people stories and kind of getting back to a sense of credibility. And there's always things that we can learn from people, from their life stories and life lessons and things that we can use no matter what our belief system is that can help us. And that's kind of the goal. More than necessarily, you know, preaching a sermon to people, I believe so often the best sermon we can preach is with the example of our life, you know, our credibility, our character,
yes.
and those things. And that's kind of what we've been talking about in this discussion, is that all of that has been lost with our culture and our society right now, is that no one trusts anyone because we're not as credible as we need to be. We're not as competent as we need to be.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.